Mercy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We're a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, different cultures, and training programs. My visitor today is Hamish Brown. Hamish, a warm welcome, and hi to my Te Ready program.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
Hamish Brown has been a group facilitator, coach, organizational consultant, and mediator for over 15 years. He is passionate about the development of generative capacity in people and organizations. He has undertaken research and writing in the field of facilitation and organization development. Hamish, you are trained as a psychiatrist?
I'm a psychotherapist. Well, actually, I'm a psychodramatist, really.
What is a psychodramatist?
Well, actually, what happened is that when I was at university at Victoria, I knew I wanted to do something to do with people. And I happened to find a flyer for Youthline. And I went there, and there was someone there running a group. And I thought, oh, this is what I want to do. I want to be a group leader, and I want to work with people so that they can feel good in groups. So then I discovered, after that, psychodrama.
So tell us more about psychodrama. What is psychodrama?
Well, in psychodrama, you sit in a U-shape in a group in front of each other, and then at the front you have a space so that there's a stage, and people work together to create events from their lives on the stage.
Events of their lives. And the other thing that you that I mentioned is that you are passionate about the development of generative capacity in people and organizations. What is generative capacity?
Well, Marino, who developed psychodrama, he was born in 1889 in Vienna. It's around the time like Carl Jung was born in 1875, and Marino had two ideas. One was that we had quite a few ideas, but one idea was that at the centre of every person is a exceptional creativity. He called it the creative genius. And the other thing that he discovered or realised is that people are social creatures. We belong in social groups. And so there's some relationship between our innate creative genius and the social networks that we create together that enable us to express ourselves and bring into being what we can imagine, or also kind of stop this. So if you look around society, you see all sorts of places where you can see people are frustrated and unable to express their creativity, and they maybe struggle, do negative things, difficult things, or then there's moments when people have around them the things that they need, and they create something. And every person, of course, is thoroughly unique, so what they create is unique, but also it has this quality about it.
Isn't there also a saying that that if you don't have certain things, your mind is creating things, so you're more creative in a way when you need to create something?
Yeah, I think we babies are extraordinary in that they come into the world and they meet for the first time their parents, their first social network, and they have this exceptional ability to make a perfect relationship with mum, however mum might be. And of course then some of this becomes a habit, how they relate, you know, as they grow into a teenager. There's habits that develop because it's the social network that they're in. These habits kind of work. And sometimes it's a long way from their creative impulse that started them off. They go off down a track and
that's a development then.
There's a developmental idea. So it's quite a thing to create a group that is a social network where people can discover their creativity, discover their capacity to imagine the world that they really would like to be in, and their capacity to start creating it with other people. That's really what generative capacity is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that explanation. For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Dingaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Hamish Brown, and as he his training involves in psychodrama, and he's talking about generative capacity, I asked him first to explain the two expressions before we talk a little bit further about it. And because you've done some courses, you've run some courses at the Mercy Spirituality Center, and you connected the two. So is it about the group movement, group, you had the generative capacity and the psychodrama, yes. And you mentioned in both cases it's something to do with a group and with a social surrounding.
Yeah, so I do work in organisations where really my main focus is on helping the organisation create a social system that means that the people in the organisation can be effective and feel fulfilled and satisfied in their endeavours and feel like they've got the things around them that they need to do their jobs effectively.
An organisation can be a company, it can be an NGO, it can be a group, any volunteers.
Yeah, maybe an organisation is any group with a purpose. Any purposeful group is an organisation. And then my other work is, as a psychotherapist, I work one-to-one, but also running psychodrama groups where we do healing work, really, or work that assists people to be more able to create the lives that they want for themselves.
Do you have to do the one-to-one before you do the psychodrama?
Some people would rather have one person, and some people like coming to groups. I think it's okay either way.
So you don't have to go one-to-one first and explain your case or whatever, and then you do the drama?
No, but sometimes people want to be in a group and then they think, actually, I want to see you on my own. And other people, they discover that groups are such a great place to be. But it's quite like, for a lot of people, being in a group, a group that's to do with doing psychodrama or doing development, is provokes anxiety. So, you know, how to find a way to be in the group. It's quite a work for everybody.
Can you tell us more about the procedure of this work in the psychodrama group?
Yes. Well, I just ran a 3.5-day group at the Mercy Centre. We had 9 people. On the first night, I said something like, at this point in the group, everything is still possible and nothing has yet been created. But, of course, this creates a tremendous challenge to us. Like, what we do in this group matters. We're going to create something together. And by the end of this workshop, there'll be a rich tapestry that we've created, but at the moment we don't know. And so here we are alive in this present moment, and we're going to start. So I say this, and it brings into people their awareness that they don't know anybody in this group, that at the moment we're all isolated.
So the people, they are all strangers to each other?
Yes. Well, no. Some of them have been to groups with me before or groups with Selena, who I'm working with before.
But they're not friends or mates?
Some of them, there's 2 people in the group who are friends. So there's some networks, the beginning of some networks are present. And there's also this tremendous work to create a group where we can really go to the important places in people's lives that they want to explore.
So after setting the scene, how does it continue?
Well, people start to express themselves, maybe what they're motivated by, what causes them to want to be here. As they do this, they start to connect with each other. And what develops is a very rich network of relationships that's based on the idea that we're all here for something, we're all motivated by something. Some people warm up to that very slowly and feel quite anxious, and other people warm up very quickly. And that's fine.
And I think that if some warm up very quickly, it will be easier then for the others who don't warm up so quickly to express themselves too.
Yes, yeah, and some people in the group are very familiar with working this way, and they know how to connect with other people. Some people get a tremendous amount from the group by being experienced as being valued by others and experience connecting with others.
And thinking of the generative capacity, do you tell them that everyone is a genius?
Well, the problem with telling people that is that for a lot of us, it's a frightening thing. And we don't experience it. So if we don't know it and we don't experience it, if you think about things like crime, I think things, social concerns like crime, it's to do with people not having had a space where they can create the world that they could imagine. Many of the things that we grapple with are to do with how do we develop an adequate social network so that everybody can experience being of value and creating things that matter to them.
Also, the term genius, if you mention it, a genius is often very alone. And so I think that if you say you have different talents and all the talents together will make a good group.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? And yet, the moment of creative impulse, it's like there is this moment where we step onto the stage and we do create something. And that's unique. It's unique to each person, whatever it is. But, of course, in that moment, there's already the social network present that the person is experiencing. That means that they feel ready and able, and they know that if it's terrible, that it'll be okay, or whatever it is, that people will value them anyway.
When you say go on the stage, well, at the Mercer Spirituality Centre, there's no stage. So are they going in the centre of a circle, or?
Well, we sit in a horseshoe, and at the front of the room, we call this the stage. Marino created a stage that was a circular space with a step. And so when you're preparing to go on the stage, you go on the step around and you walk around, and then when you're ready, you step onto centre stage. But you could also think the stage is the place where you experience yourself doing something of worth, maybe in your family over breakfast when your daughter is distressed and you respond to her in a way that causes things to be okay. It's a stage. So the life is a stage. It's a place where we're working to interact meaningfully with the people around us.
When you say that you walk around until you're ready, does that mean you're not putting people on the spot? You're not telling them, now you come here and you're playing this and this role, and then people get all nervous?
It's a funny thing, isn't it? Like, maybe it's related to improvisational acting, but psychodrama is it's not really about acting. So the people in the group, if we're to set up my breakfast table with my distressed daughter, then someone in the group would become my daughter, and I would be her first. And so the person who's going to be the auxiliary gets to experience me being my daughter, and then their job is to become like that. And then we have this thing called role reversal, where I might say after there's an expression, I might say reverse role. So actually, the actor, the auxiliary, doesn't have to do anything new. It's my daughter in my kitchen, so I have to do things. I bring it into being, and the auxiliary just assists me to produce this moment from my life.
So is it a bit to put yourself into other people's shoes?
That's one of the things, hey. So isolation is often about having had people put themselves in our shoes, and if we haven't had that, we don't know how to do it. So one of the ways that psychodrama helps is that people have lots of experiences of reversing roles and getting on board with other people, being other people. And as we do this, we feel what it is to be this person, and we come alive to them. And so there's a great value in that, I think, in terms of coming connected and out of isolation.
And how do you pick? Are you the one who picks the persons and says, you are the daughter and you are the mother, or something like that?
No, mostly as the group gets going, like on the second day, one thing is the person whose drama we're going to do, we talk in the group together, and the person who becomes the protagonist, they're the best person for the whole group. So while it's my drama and I've been chosen, maybe I'm being chosen because I best represent the theme in the group. And then often when I'm going to choose someone to be my daughter, the director will say to me, you choose someone to be your daughter, and I'll look at the members of the group, and often the other person will know that they're going to be chosen because they have a feeling sense of what this girl is like, and that something in them is like that, and they just, there's a match, and they know it. So sometimes people just think, oh yeah, I'll get chosen for this role, or sometimes people think, oh, I really don't want to be chosen for this role, and then, you know, maybe they're not. But they don't have to, of course. They can say, oh no, not me. But
have you had situations where you had to pick somebody because nobody came up, or because the person who was supposed to choose couldn't make up his mind?
Well, my job as the group leader is that I work with the group to become warmed up and ready. So people don't feel that they're being put on the spot. And it's meaningful for the protagonist, for the person whose work it is, for them to choose. So for them to be warmed up adequately to being a good protagonist for the group, they'll be ready to choose people. So all of that, I'm attending to that. There's quite a lot of skills. The training period to become a psychodramatist is quite long because there's so many things that you need to develop an awareness of.
What do you have to study when you study psychodrama? Is it psychology and psychiatry, or is it drama skills?
Well, people that come to psychodrama training, some of them come from drama backgrounds. Quite often they'll come from backgrounds as counsellors or psychotherapists or clinical psychologists, and sometimes they come because they're organisational consultants, or they work in an organisation with change, or they work with people in organisations and they want to be better at doing that. So people have a range of backgrounds, and some people use the method to do psychodrama like I'm describing. Some people use it to do one-to-one therapy. Some people use it in organisations to work better with the people that they're working with. So quite a wide range. But you'd say psychodrama is it's a relational psychotherapy, so it's in the area of recognising the importance of relationship in our development.
And what kind of, if you have nine people in a course, like for 3 days, you said, so you have nine dramas?
We had, in this group I've just run, we had maybe six or seven vignettes, which is a little thing. So on the first night, someone put themselves on the stage as a robot, and there's just the robot and them. And they're sitting in the group and they're relating to themselves as a robot. This maybe takes 4 minutes. And then it's a vignette. Sometimes people put two or three things or make a sculpture on the stage and they get to see it. So that's another kind of vignette. But then a drama can be an hour long or an hour and a half long. Maybe it has three scenes. Maybe it has a scene in the present and then a scene from their childhood and then another scene or something like this. We had seven psychodramas like that in this group, and lots of vignettes and lots of time interacting as a group.
So what is the purpose of that vignette? Is it also to put yourself out of your role and see you from the distance and see how you react?
One way of learning is to see. Marino described four stages of development. He described the matrix of identity where we're a wee baby and nothing is differentiated. We experience mum, but we don't know that it's mum. We just have an experience. And then the next stage is the stage of the double, which, of course, mothers and fathers do this a lot, where they really know what the child needs because they're experiencing the child. And the child has an experience of someone being finally attuned to them. And then the next stage is the stage of the mirror, where we learn by seeing ourselves. And then there's the stage of role reversal and role playing, where we learn by doing things. If someone looks at themselves, then it's a mirroring experience. They see themselves. Sometimes they look at themselves and they're very critical. Oh, he's so awful. Hate him. Maybe at this moment, doubling it would be good, like to actually be able to value the experience of this person that looks awful from the outside.
Yeah.
So all these things are alive all the time, hey, and we're working fluidly and flexibly. It's not like a thing where it's programmed out. It's we create it as we go along together.
Do you have some feedback from people? Are you in touch with people who've done the psychodrama with you and are now back in their organisation, of course?
Yes. I like to sustain relationship, and often the people that will come to my groups will come because they've been before and they know that it makes a big difference. And so in the group when we start, there's quite a lot of familiarity with some people. Sometimes everyone has been before, and it's immediately people feel good to be there. Other times, no one knows anyone, and there's a different kind of beginning. But great value, I think, in keeping being involved with people and keeping building the relationship. A lot of things deepen over time. Some things that you can't do straight away later are easy.
Mm. How come that people have to come several times? Is that similar to when you come several times to counselling?
Yeah, I think if you think of a psychodrama that takes an hour, very often it's focused on one particular experience, one particular area of functioning. One time from my life and the period of my life that led up to that. And so we can all do hundreds of psychodramas. And then we can discover that our parents, of course, they were influenced by how their experience of living. So maybe we have a psychodrama where we become our mother and we explore some aspect of her life and her experience with her folks and or school or something like that. It's the possibilities are endless.
So people discover something about themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing is to know that we function a certain way under certain conditions, and then another thing is to have access to our creativity, or Marina called it spontaneity, so that we can do something new in response to ourselves. So it might be an area where we know that what we're doing is not so good, like at the moment there's lots of focus on family violence, for example. If I am someone who gets angry and hurts people, then maybe I have to focus on that from a few different perspectives until I discover how to function in this moment in a new way that is more in line with what I'm actually trying to create, because no one that's hurting anyone really wants to be doing this, but there's something in them at that moment that that's the way they are, in response to this. So becoming conscious and then also having the capacity to do something new in the particular moment where it matters.
Yeah,
that's what psychodrama is for.
So a psychodrama is about 100 years old?
Yes, I guess so. I guess, and there's all over the world. It's there's in America, in the UK,
Europe,
yeah, South America. There's people in New Zealand. We've got in Australia. We've got the Australasian Psychodrama Association. There's training centres all over. It's five in New Zealand and five or six in Australia, and so we all cooperate together.
And how do people know about the psychodrama, and how do they, find an interest for it?
Well, the best thing probably is to go to a group. And sometimes there's open groups offered, and you bowl up for an evening, and you have an experience just for an evening with a group of people, and you think, oh, I like this, I want to do more of this. Maybe then you want to come to a weekend workshop next, or join a long-term group, or a group that's going to meet for six or eight sessions. Some people want to train, and so in Auckland we have the Auckland Training Centre for Psychodrama, where we're training people to work this way. And like I said before, they have all sorts of backgrounds.
And are some counsellors also telling their clients, I think that you should go to a psychodrama, and just to see your behaviour from a different point of view, or to see how you how the reaction of others are on how you behave? Is that one of the ways that they get in touch with you?
Yes, yeah. I think it's my favourite. For about for 6 years, I ran, every 3 months, I ran a three-day group, but I had a weekly group that was a long-term group, and my preference in that group was that everybody had a counsellor already or a psychotherapist already. And so the work we were doing in the group was supporting what they're doing in their counselling, and people get different things from being in a larger social network.
And people have to take it seriously so that they don't say, oh yeah, it's just fun to play a role.
Well, some people just love psychodrama. It's so much fun. They love it. It's just really, it's so enlivening to go to something really meaningful for someone and to feel alive in this moment. So some people, what motivates them is they just love the method. Other people, there's particular work they're trying to do, and at my weekly group, it was a long-term group, so you had to commit to coming, People would come for 3 or 4 years to this group, and they really got to know each other. So there, people felt they belonged together and they belonged to the group, and people noticed when people went there. And so they get to learn about being in a small group of 8 people and how they matter to the others.
So in a way, it could be also kind of fueling up for the people when they start feeling, I need another psychodrama to fuel me up. Is that possible?
Yes. Yes. Or what happens in the group, they notice that how they are in the group is similar to how they are in life, and they really focus in the long-term group and changing certain things with this group of people that are assisting them and being thoughtful together. And then their lives change, and then they think, oh, now it's different, I feel good, I'll stop.
And I understand you're up to doing another course at the Mercy Spirituality Centre?
Yes, we love coming to the Mercy Centre. The room is so beautiful, and the space is the space around the room is really lovely. So Selena and I will run a workshop in November next year, and I've got an advanced group starting in November soon. So
which date is it?
That group it's open to just to people who have come before. However, if you Google psychodrama or the Auckland Training Centre for Psychodrama, you'll find all over the place there's people using this method, and you can find different practitioners offering workshops. And yeah. Just call them up and introduce yourself and get talking, and then you'll find out what's the best thing for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Hamish. It was very interesting to hear about psychodrama.
Thank you.
And I can tell by your smile that you also enjoy the work.
It's lovely. It's really lovely to talk about it, actually. I do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And to our listeners, what is coming up at our Mercy Spirituality Centre? Well, after the popular talks with Dr. Nick Thompson on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we still have one more talk focusing on the Reformation. And that will be on the 30th of November from 10 to 12. And I will repeat my talk about the Cathedral of Bautzen, a church that has been used by the Catholics and the Lutherans for 500 years. And if you're thinking of going on a retreat this year, you can still register for our 6-day live-in retreat with Sister Christina Catherall from Sunday the 3rd of December to Saturday the 9th of December. By now, you will all have received our booklets for 2018. In case you haven't received your personal copy and would like to have one, please send us an email and either stop by or then pick up your copy, or we'll send it to you. And for all events at our center, please register with us per phone at 09-638-6238 or via our website at www.mercyspiritualitycentre.org.nz. And thank you very much, Hamish, again, for coming here to the studio. And I wish you all a good Friday and a good week ahead. Thank you. God.